following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Without freedom of the press, no democratic form of government could exist.
We switch you now to London.
I'm standing on a rooftop looking out over London.
Good night and good luck.
Good evening from our CBS newsroom in New York.
NBC presents Chet Huntley and David Brinkley.
From ABC, this is World News Tonight with Peter Jennings in London, Max Robinson in Chicago, and from our desk in Washington, Frank Reynolds.
Good evening. This historic legislation, the telecommunications law, will create many, many high-wage jobs, will create opportunity and better lives for all Americans.
When the press is free, the people of a country are free. When the press is not free, the people of a country are in danger of slavery.
Keeping you informed with information, news, and the views of people making the news. It's the Nicole Sandler Show on NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
All right, welcome to a Wednesday. And Donald Trump is, you know, is doing it again. he's hitting back at the press. You know, NBC News had an exclusive report this morning saying that the impetus for Rex Tillerson to call Donald Trump a moron was a meeting that happened back in July with some top military officials at the White House who, I think it was at the White House, when Trump, they were talking about our nuclear arsenal. And Trump, according to NBC News, said that he wanted a 10 times explosion. He wanted 10 times greater the amount of nuclear weapons than we already had. Well, today he's pushing back on it. He hit the Twitters early this morning. Fake news, or fake at NBC News, made up a story that I wanted a tenfold increase in our U.S. nuclear arsenal. Pure fiction, made up to demean. NBC equals CNN. And then he continued, with all the fake news coming out of NBC and the networks, at what point is it appropriate to challenge their license? Bad for country. Here's how stupid this man is. TV networks are not licensed. The only ones that hold licenses are the station owners. So NBC may have a handful of owned and operated stations. Those they need a license for operating the NBC network. No license necessary. No license exists. It just, this man just doesn't have a clue. So do I think that NBC News made up this story? No, frankly, because I have more faith in NBC than I do Trump. But just a few minutes ago, he's in the Oval Office with Justin Trudeau of Canada, and he's asked about it.
Do you want to reduce the nuclear arsenal?
No, I never discussed increasing it. I want it in perfect shape. That was just fake news by NBC, which gives a lot of fake news lately. No, I never discussed. I think somebody said I want 10 times the nuclear weapons that we have right now. Right now, we have so many nuclear weapons. I want them in perfect condition, perfect shape. That's the only thing I've ever discussed. General Mattis put out a statement, or is putting
Mattis
out a statement.
Mattis did put out a statement.
Saying that that was fake news, that it was just mentioned that way. And it's frankly disgusting the way the press is able to write whatever they want to write. And people should look into it. No, I want to have absolutely perfectly maintained, which we are in the process of doing, nuclear force. But when they said, I want 10 times what we have right now, it's totally unnecessary, believe me, because I know what we have right now.
He knows. Believe me, he knows. I truly believe that he said it, and then he was sort of put into his place by people who understand. The only thing I don't get is Mattis lying on his behalf, because I don't see that happening. But then again, stranger things have happened. Again, I will trust NBC News before I trust Donald Trump any day of the week. Any day of the week. And regardless, you can't challenge NBC's license. He just so wants to be a dictator. It's really sad. He wants, you know, and again, anything is fake news if it's not complimentary toward the president. That's how he decides what's fake and what's real. And by the way, you know, he made up that term, fake news, right? Wrong.
Your original source for fake news. Fox News. We make shit up.
There's been fake news for a long, long time, long before Donald Trump got elected. The problem is with him, you know, it's the old gaslighting thing. Things that he tells us are fake are actually true, and things that are true, he tells us they're fake. So this NBC story, I don't know, but I wouldn't put it past him. So last night was the Hip Hop Awards on BET. Now, I'm not a hip hop fan. I'm not a rap person. I just don't get it. I'm old. You know, I'm a rock and roller. But Eminem did a song dedicated to Donald Trump that I just have to share with you. So it was a freestyle rap. Now, they bleeped the F words, but they left in the shits. So we get the shits, but no F words. So when there's a little bit of silence, use your imagination. All right? Eminem, take it away.
It's the calm before the storm right here.
Wait, how was I going to start this off? I forgot. Oh, yeah. That's an awfully hot coffee pot. Should I drop it on Donald Trump? Probably not, but that's all I got till I come up with a solid... Got a plan and now I got a hatchet like a damn Apache with a tomahawk. I'ma walk inside a mosque on Ramadan and say a prayer that every time talks, she gets a I'ma stop.
I'ma stop.
But we better give Obama props, cause what we got in office now's a kamikaze that'll probably cause a nuclear holocaust.
Uh-huh.
And while the drama pops and he waits for shit to quiet down, he'll just gas his plane up and fly around till the bombing stops. Intensity's heightened, tensions are rising. Trump, when it comes to giving a shit, you're stingy as I am. Except when it comes to having the balls to go against me, you hide them. Cause you don't got the nuts like an empty asylum. Racism's the only thing he's fantastic for. Cause that's how he gets his rocks off, and he's orange.
He's orange. Nothing rhymes with orange.
That's why he wants us to disband, cause he cannot withstand the fact we're not afraid of Trump. Walking on eggshells, I came to stomp. That's why he keeps screaming, drain the swamp, cause he's in quicksand. It's like we take a step forwards, then backwards. But this is his form of distraction. Plus, he gets an enormous reaction when he attacks the NFL, so we focus on that. And instead of talking Puerto Rico with gun reform for Nevada, all these horrible tragedies, and he's bored and would rather cause a Twitter storm with the Packers than says he wants to lower our taxes. Then who's gonna pay for his extravagant trips back and forth with his fam to his golf resorts and his mansions? Same shit that he tormented Hillary for and he slandered, then does it more. From his endorsement of Bannon, support for the Klansman, tiki torches in hand for the soldier that's black and comes home from Iraq and is still told to go back to Africa, forking a dagger in this racist 94-year-old grandpa who keeps ignoring our past historical deplorable factors. Now if you're a black athlete, you're a spoiled little brat for trying to use your platform or your stature to try to give those a voice who don't have one. He says you're spitting in the face of vets who fought for us, you bastards. Unless you're a POW who's tortured and battered, because to him, you're zeros, because he don't like his war heroes captured. That's not disrespecting the military. That. This is for Colin. Ball up a fist. And keep that shit balled. Like Donald the bitch. He's gonna get rid of all immigrants. He's gonna build that thing up taller than this.
Uh-oh.
Well, if he does build it, I hope it's rock solid with bricks. Cause like him in politics, I'm using all of his tricks. Cause I'm throwing that piece of shit against the wall till it sticks. And any fan of mine who's a supporter of his, I'm drawing in the sand a line. You're either for or against. And if you can't decide who you like more in your split on who you should stand beside, I'll do it for you with this. The rest of America, stand up. We love our military and we love our country, but we hate Trump.
All right, there's a bit of a rant from Eminem. I thought it was great. It took me a couple of listens to hear all that was in there, and there was a lot there. I give mad props to BET for letting that go over the air. I'm sure it was bleeped heavily, but still putting it out. And Eminem, who knew? Who knew? Now I'm imagining my imaginary matchup, Eminem versus Kid Rock. I guess I'll take Eminem any day of the week. All right. We've got a great show for you today. A guest who's been on a couple of times in the past, and we always have a spirited discussion. David Silverman is here today. If that name doesn't mean anything, you've possibly seen him interviewed, possibly in a sort of contentious manner. He's the president of American Atheists. They're at atheists.org. He's got a book out called Fighting God, an Atheist Manifesto for a Religious World. And he'll talk to anybody anytime. And he's got some very, very, you know, those militant atheists. That's David Silverman. So I always enjoy talking with him. We'll have a nice, godly conversation coming up. But first, a look at the day's news. I think. Why are we not playing this? I'm going to have to play it from here, I think, because What's News didn't want to play from there. Let's try it like this.
I read the news today, oh boy.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
The death toll now stands at 17 people killed since Sunday in California's wildfires, with more than 2,000 homes and businesses destroyed. At least 185 people have been injured during the blazes that started Sunday night, with nearly 200 reported missing. 20 wildfires are raging across parts of 7 counties in both Northern and Southern California. Meanwhile, the death toll from Hurricane Maria in Puerto Rico has risen to 45, according to Governor Ricardo Rossello. 85% of the island is still without power, and 44% of people don't have access to drinkable water. NBC News is reporting that the president told his advisors, including the nation's highest-ranking national security leaders, that he wanted a tenfold increase in America's nuclear arsenal.
The bombshell report cites three officials who were in the room and says the president called for a dramatic, nearly tenfold increase in America's nuclear arsenal, leaving his own top officials caught off guard. It came after the president saw a slide that illustrated the nation's nuclear stockpile, which has already seen a steady reduction since the 1960s. Officials were forced to explain the legal and practical challenges to a nuclear buildup. The president's position raised immediate questions about his understanding of America's nuclear posture and left some national security officials rattled about his grasp of other national security issues. Shortly after the meeting concluded, Secretary of State Rex Tillerson was heard calling the president a moron. We don't know exactly why Tillerson said that about the president,
but it's not too difficult to figure out. On Twitter Wednesday morning, the president called NBC's reports fake news. In the wake of reports that Rex Tillerson called him a moron, Trump told Forbes magazine that he has a higher IQ than his Secretary of State, saying, quote, "I think it's fake news, but if he did that, I guess we'll have to compare IQ tests, and I can tell you who is going to win." Historically, Donald Trump talks about IQ a lot.
So I tweeted that Rick Perry should have to have an IQ test before getting on the debate stage.
They sit back. I'll match my IQ. I want to match my IQ with some of those guys, with all of them.
He's attacking you for being ignorant. He says that if you're president, you'll make both our countries.
Let's do an IQ test.
And I keep hearing about global warming. Now they'll say, he doesn't understand. Let's do IQ tests.
These so-called eggheads, and by the way, I guarantee you, my IQ is much higher than theirs, all right?
I guarantee I have a vocabulary better than all of them, certainly most of them. I know I have an IQ better than all of them. I know that.
Governor Perry, a very nice guy. He made nasty statements about me. And then I challenged his IQ, which wasn't nice to do. And I challenged his glasses. What the hell are you wearing glasses for, all of us? I said, the glasses aren't working.
I tell you what, one thing we've learned. We have by far the highest IQ of any cabinet.
I guarantee my IQ is much higher than any of these people. Like my uncle was one of the great professors at MIT. I mean, believe me, it's good genes. We believe in genes, right? We're allowed to say that.
When asked about it during the White House press briefing, Sarah Sanders said it was a joke.
How does the president expect his Secretary of State to be effective when he's questioning his intelligence?
again, he wasn't questioning the Secretary of State's intelligence.
Well,
he made a joke. Maybe you guys should get a sense of humor and try it sometime. But he simply made a joke. He's been extremely clear time and time again, despite the fact that you guys want to continue to bring this up and create a story. He's got 100% confidence in the Secretary of State. He said it multiple times over the last couple of weeks. And we're trying to move forward and focus on the agenda while you guys want to move forward and talk about who likes who.
Sanders was also asked about Trump's statement that the U.S. is the highest tax nation in the world when it isn't.
On taxes, the president repeated this claim in the Oval Office today, saying we're the highest tax nation in the world. Why does the president keep saying this? It's not true overall.
We are the highest taxed corporate tax in the developed economy. That's a fact.
But that's not what the president said.
That's what he's talking about. We are the highest corporate taxed country in the developed economies across the globe.
Sarah, so that's accurate, but the president keeps repeating this claim that we're the highest tax nation.
And that's what we are, the highest tax corporate nation.
But that's not what he said. He said we're the highest tax nation in the world.
The highest tax corporate nation. It seems pretty consistent to me. Sorry, we're just going to have to agree to disagree.
The president also continued his war of words against the chair of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, Bob Corker, calling him little Bob Corker. Sanders was asked about Corker's allegations.
Over the weekend, Senator Bob Corker called the White House an adult daycare center, said the president could lead the country into World War III, and said that, quote, he concerns me, he would have to concern anyone who cares about our nation. What can you tell us a little about the internal reaction to such a senior Republican making comments like that? And is there concern that other top Republicans could make similar comments?
Look, Senator Corker is certainly entitled to his own opinion, but he's not entitled to his own facts. The fact is, this president has been an incredibly strong leader on foreign policy and national security, and he's been a leader on this front.
And that's a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider a contribution. My work is 100% listener-funded, and I really can't do it without you. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com/donate. All right. And for a little bit more in the news, we turn to our friends at the Talk Media News Service. They're at TalkMediaNews.com. Hey, who's on the line today?
Hey, it's Doug. How you doing, Nicole?
I'm doing well. How you doing, Doug?
Doing all right. I'm doing a lot better than Harvey Weinstein is doing this, these days.
Yeah, well, I hope most people are doing better than he's doing.
Yeah, he really, I mean, that story just shakes up, it shakes up our culture even. I mean, here was a person who was, he was a Democratic mega donor. I think there were many Democrats who felt comfortable that, not comfortable, but I thought, well, President Trump does this, but, you know, we behave better. Well, clearly not. I mean,
yeah, but nobody voted for Harvey Weinstein. Nobody, you know, some people took money from him, and many of the 2020 contenders who have taken money from him are donating the money to charity. It's funny that yesterday, both Hillary Clinton and the Obamas put out a statement, but neither one of them said anything about the money they got from him.
Yeah, well, I think that, CNN pointed out that they hadn't, and but I think they'll, I think they'll do the right thing. Give the money to good causes, and there are plenty of good causes to give money to.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, it's very sad. I mean, and of course, Ronan Farrow had personal history with an abusive father who had been protected by Hollywood.
Right. He wrote the story for The New Yorker. The original story broke in The New York Times. Then Ronan Farrow wrote a big piece for The New Yorker yesterday in which three women alleged rape, which is the first time we heard, you know, actual rape allegations. I mean, most of what we've heard, and honestly, I didn't read the New Yorker story, and I didn't read the New York Times story. I get the idea. I've been around men like that. You know, I worked and lived in Los Angeles for 15 years, so I did radio in L.A.
Yeah.
And they're out there. I mean, they're everywhere, unfortunately. And I you know, I didn't need the salacious details, but it sounds like he's got a lot of just, you know, perverse quirks. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, absolutely. an enabler. I mean, he couldn't do it without an enabler. And,
That's true.
And it really puts it doesn't just affect women. It affects men too. It affects our entire culture, our relationship men, relationships between men and women. And I'm sad that it took so long for this to come out. I'm glad it did. And I hope that the good that comes out of it is that we get ourselves on a better path.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, it's a shame that I mean, the only reason I think that we're talking about it, frankly, is because he was a big money donor to Democrats. Look, there are shitty people on both sides of the aisle. It just so happens that Harvey Weinstein is one of them. And, you know, I hope I never have to hear his name again.
Exactly. Exactly.
And, so what else is going on?
Well, of course, there's a terrible wildfire happening in California.
Horrible.
And, oh, gosh. I mean, you know, there are 15 confirmed deaths, but there are 180 people still missing.
Yeah.
And so we don't know. And these fires are raging so fiercely. People say that they're like a blowtorch, and they're that powerful and that loud, even.
Yeah, and you got the down south in Southern California, you got the Santa Ana winds that come in from the desert. It's really hot and dry. And then up north, I mean, all this started just Sunday and spread so quickly, people didn't even have a chance to see it coming.
No, but of course, it does get back to it doesn't. What has augmented this, of course, has been the terrible water shortage in California, which of course is also related to global warming, which also has been related to the fierce hurricane season we've had on the other side of the continent, Puerto Rico, where a significant portion of the population still doesn't have clean drinking water.
Yeah,
and that's a terrible, a really terrible story. That's just getting worse because people will die of disease or infection or thirst even if something isn't really done on a much more comprehensive level. So that's terrible work. And then of course internationally, of course we've got a very thin-skinned president who doesn't see the harm in threatening nuclear warfare versus diplomacy over name calling. This is intensely scary. As we all know, when the president had a meeting at the Pentagon with commanders who pointed out that we were diminishing the number of nuclear weapons, he said we need to increase them by tenfold.
Well, and he's pushing back on that. In fact, right before showtime, there was a photo op in the Oval Office with Justin Trudeau, and he pushed back. Here, I'll play it again. I've got audio. He pushed back very heavily on it. Here's what he said.
No, I never discussed increasing it. I want it in perfect shape. That was just fake news by NBC, which gives a lot of fake news lately. No, I never discussed. I think somebody said I want 10 times the nuclear weapons that we have right now. Right now, we have so many nuclear weapons. I want them in perfect condition, perfect shape. That's the only thing I've ever discussed. General Mattis is putting out a statement saying that was fake news, that it was just mentioned that way. And it's frankly disgusting the way the press is able to write whatever they want to write. And people should look into it. No, I want to have absolutely perfectly maintained, which we are in the process of doing, nuclear force. But when they said I want 10 times what we have right now, it's totally unnecessary, believe me, because I know what we have right now.
He knows what we have right now. See, I don't believe him for a moment. I, as I said earlier, I believe NBC over Donald Trump any day of the week. But General Mattis came out and pushed back very hard on that story as well. So who knows what the truth is with this administration?
Well, General Mattis is saving us. I mean, from destruction, right? And that's what Bob Corker at one point said. And I mean, it's clear that there are a few people that are holding him back from his impulses. And I'm just grateful that they're there.
Right.
Who knows? I mean, there has been talk in Congress of restricting the president's overarching authority over launching a nuclear strike.
Yes, well, Ted Deutch has introduced legislation that would require an act of Congress. I forget who he's got somebody in the Senate who introduced the same legislation. I forget who it was. I think Ed Markey, but I could be wrong.
Yes, it was. It was Markey.
So, and they should take it up because this is serious stuff going on right now.
Yeah, I mean, even the North Koreans, diplomats are reaching out saying, well, is this real? Is this guy really going to behave like this? Is this what's really happening? I mean, it's worrisome. It's very worrisome. However, I mean, there is a good side to the president's bluster, and that is that because he has so alienated his own Republican Party, it's going to be almost impossible for him to get things done, such as heavy tax cuts for the very wealthy.
Let's hope.
Yeah, Bob Corker said that he would not lift an expletive finger to raise the debt on a tax bill,
right,
or a tax cut. So
John McCain said, he's holding true to his regular order of things, and which they're not going to have time to do all the hearings that they would need to do in order to put this through regular order. Plus, they want to do it with reconciliation, which is not regular order. And Ted Cruz also is another deficit hawk who's not going to want to add another dime to the debt. So this tax bill may be just dead in the water, I hope, if there's even a bill.
I really do, too. I mean, there was this misnamed thing. It was called the health care bill. It wasn't a health care bill. It was basically a redistribution of wealth from poor people to rich people.
Mm-hmm.
The idea was to cut health benefits so that rich people could get tax cuts. And that whole idea of that was so that they could then go through and fund additional tax cuts on the wealthy and make it to keep the budget in order. But because they have not been able to push through the health care bill, which was really a tax bill,
right?
They really can't do. They can't really.
It was a wealth care bill, not a health care bill. A wealth care bill.
Exactly.
Wealth care for the billionaires.
That's exactly what it was. It had nothing to do with about the health and well-being of the country.
No, it would have made us sicker again. Look, I'm someone who I battled cancer last year, and I just came from getting a CAT scan this morning, one of my quarterly CAT scans that I have to get to make sure I remain cancer-free. And this might be my last one, depending on what happens with the Affordable Care Act. If they're able to push up premiums so high that I can't afford it, or make it that, the cost sharing reductions are gone, I may not have insurance next year. I speak about me, but for every one of me, there's millions of others out there in the same boat. Not to mention the 9 million children who are being booted off of the children's health insurance plans because they let it expire on September 30th and they still haven't brought it back up for a vote. So there's a whole lot of healthcare being taken away by Republicans. Not much,
and not to mention also cutting healthcare, reproductive healthcare for women.
Yep.
That Trump is now pushing forward on, and saying that this is a religious liberty.
Yeah. Funny you should mention religious liberty, because that's going to segue nicely into my first my guest today, who is David Silverman of American Atheists. What they call religious liberty, I call an infringement on my beliefs. So anyway, Doug Christian from the Talk Media News Service at talkmedianews.com. Thank you as always, and I guess I'll talk to you Friday.
Oh, my pleasure.
All right. You take care. Bye-bye. All right. Bye. We'll take a quick break and come back on the other side with David Silverman from American Atheists next.
Is it possible for Wall Street banksters to learn from their own stupidity? Hear their latest financial scam today on Hightower's Radio Lowdown. The self-described geniuses of Wall Street are being stupid again. In 2007, their stupid schemes and frauds crashed our economy, destroying middle-class jobs, wealth, and opportunities. Far from being punished, however, the scofflaws were bailed out by their Washington enablers. So the moral lesson they learned was clear. Stupid pays. Go stupid! Sure enough, here they come again. Rather than investing America's capital in real businesses to generate grassroots jobs and shared prosperity, Wall Street is siphoning billions of investment dollars into speculative nonsense, such as bundles of high-risk subprime auto loans. It works like this. Car dealers, eager to goose up sales, hawk new vehicles to lower-income people, offering quick loan approval even to those with poor credit ratings. Banks, eager to hook more people on monthly car payments, okay these subprime car loans without verifying the buyer's ability to pay. Then, a Wall Street bank's investment house buys up thousands of these iffy individual loans, bundles them into multi-million dollar debt securities, and sells them to wealthy global speculators. Last year alone, banks sold $26 billion worth of these explosive bundles of car loans. This is a gaseous repeat of Wall Street's subprime mortgage bubble that burst a decade ago. The scam generates easy money at the start for speculators and banksters, but as more and more low-income buyers are unable to make their car payments, defaults build up and the whole financial bubble pops. This is Jim Hightower saying, wasting America's much-needed investment capital on a scheme that intentionally puts people in cars they can't afford with loans they can't repay is not only stupid, but immoral, and it's killing our economy. Why are we letting elite Wall Street loan sharks do this to us?
Need an antidote to the progressive blues? Want some good news about how grassroots folks are rebelling against the corporate powers and winning? Well, here's an easy-to-swallow pill for you, the Hightower Lowdown. Hightower's monthly newsletter will give you the lowdown, even as it lifts you up. It's 4 pages a month, jam-packed with facts you can use, actions you can take, and Jim's own Texas humor, all for only $15 a year. To become a lowdowner, go to HightowerLowdown.org.
The Nicole Sandler Show is 100% listener-supported. Have you given yet? Nicole decided not to put her show behind a paywall, knowing that many can't afford the luxury of paying for a podcast. But if you're able to, she needs your financial support to continue doing this. Consider a monthly subscription. Give when you can. Just visit NicoleSandler.com/donate. Remember, she can't do this without you.
All right, I am back, and as promised, I'm excited for our next guest because it's always a spirited discussion when David Silverman joins in. He's the president of American Atheists. You can find them at atheists.org. You can find him on Twitter at Mr. Atheist Pants, a name given to him by Stephen Colbert. And he's the author of the book Fighting God, an Atheist Manifesto for a Religious World, now out in paperback. Hello, David.
Nicole, thank you so much for having me back on the show.
Well, thank you for being here. It's like I said, it's always a fascinating conversation when we get together to talk. You have a way of bringing that out in people.
Yeah, I've heard that before a few times.
So
many times.
Let's start in the book is Fighting God, an Atheist Manifesto for a Religious World. Is everything a fight?
It is. Everything is a fight, but it's a fight from an area of love. It's a fight from an area of compassion. It is a fight. Why is it a fight? It's a fight because religion is evil. Religion is bad. Religion deserves to die, and religion is not going down easy. It's going down hard, and so we need to fight it, and we need to fight hard, and we need to fight effectively. We need to fight with compassion. Of course, Nicole, I want to make it very clear that we're not fighting people. We're fighting religion. There's a very big difference between saying religion is shit. I'm sorry. Can I swear on your show?
You certainly can. Swear away.
There's a very big difference between saying religion is shit and deserves to die which is a true statement, and saying religious people are bad or stupid or evil. And I don't say anything of that. Religious people are victims of a lie. They're good people. They're intelligent people. My mother was religious. My grandmother was religious. They weren't stupid. They weren't evil. They were lied to, and they believed the lie. They believed the scam. They were victims of the scam. And the only way to help these people, and this is what we are doing, is to fight the evil that is infecting them. And so, yes, fighting God is about the fight against God, the fight against religion, the fight for the separation of church and state, the fight for equality among all people. But that's what we're fighting for, equality among all people. That's the fight. I'm not fighting for the elimination of religious people. I'm not fighting to reach into your home and pull your Christmas tree out and set a bonfire in your front lawn.
Well,
it might be fun, but seriously, it's not about that. It's about fighting the hard fight for equality of atheists, which also means the equality of Jews and Christians and Muslims and Hindus. We're fighting for equality. We're fighting for fairness. And we're fighting because nobody's going to give it to us without a fight.
Right. Nope. But I keep hearing today that this is a Christian nation, that this is a nation founded on Christian beliefs.
Isn't that a great saying? Except nobody can actually say what those Christian beliefs are. Do you ever feel like that? You ever realize that? People say to me, we're based on Christian values. I say, okay.
Yeah, which ones?
Name one. Well, they come out with, well, you can't steal and you can't murder. And I name two, maybe three commandments, two or three out of 10. And all three of those come from other religions too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, thou shalt not steal predates the 10 commandments by 1,000 years or so. So they make up this, oh, let's just call it what it is, a lie, in order to make people think that this country is a Christian nation. And what does this country is a Christian nation mean, Nicole? What it means is Christians get more rights than other people.
Mm-hmm.
That means.
That's so right.
When they say we're a Christian nation, they're completely foregoing the whole concept of the golden rule, do unto others as you would have done unto you, because they would never want this country to be a Muslim country, because then the Muslims would get extra rights and the Christians would not. That would be bad. They say this is a Christian nation, the lie, because they want to encourage, because they want to protect special rights for themselves.
Right. And in this age of Trump, you and I have not spoken since we got our new president. Now, this is a man who I don't believe has any religious beliefs, who was embraced by the evangelicals, even with all of his all the dirt that went along with him. I mean, God, we've been talking about Harvey Weinstein. Donald Trump is every bit as bad. And yet the evangelicals just glommed onto him and said, he's our guy. How can they justify that in the name of their religion?
Well, they're doing the ends justify the means thing. They're looking at Trump. Trump is a corrupt politician. Yes, I firmly believe, with no evidence, well, with anecdotal evidence, I firmly believe that Trump is an atheist. I firmly believe that Trump is a bad atheist. I mm-hmm. write about this in Fighting God, that people will use religion for their personal gain. And I think a lot of televangelists, and I think our president is doing this. He knows that he's corrupt. He knows that he's got Russia problems. He knows that he's always known that he had, and he's always known that he can use the religious right for his purpose, for support. So he is throwing them the Johnson Amendment. He's throwing them Neil Gorsuch. He's mm-hmm. throwing them Betsy DeVos. And they say, yay, we're getting all we wanted.
He's throwing them the religious freedom nonsense that says, you know, if you're a religious organization or you're nonprofit or your closely held family corporation has moral objection to birth control, you don't have to furnish contraception for your employees, all in the name of religious freedom.
Yeah, all in the name of and what that means, and this is a very important bridge that we're crossing here.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about putting religious feelings above civil law.
Ah.
You are okay. I'm uh-huh. an atheist.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say I'm an atheist and I'm a bigot.
Okay.
And let's say somebody else is a Christian and they're a bigot. Okay. And I want to do something. I want to fire a gay employee because I'm a bigot and I want to fire a gay employee. I can't do that. If I'm a Christian and I say God wants me to fire my gay employee, I get to do that. That is special rights for religious people over non-religious people. That is the establishment of theocracy. And I'm not being hyperbolic here.
No.
That's exactly what we're talking about. We're talking about my God wants me to drive 90 in a 55 zone, but the atheists have to drive 55 in a 55 zone. That's what we're talking about here. My God wants me to break the law, therefore I get to. And what that means is that, that's very, very clearly a big step in the direction of theocracy. It is the very basis of theocracy, that people who believe in the right religion get special rights than people who don't, special advantages. And so we've got Donald Trump, who is trying to cover for his inadequacies and his corruption, alleged corruption, I should say. And he is using the religious right as a shield, and he is using that shield, he's nourishing that shield by giving them everything that they want, irrelevant of what Trump's personal ideals really are. He's no religious believer. The first time he was asked on record to name a Bible verse, he couldn't name one. This is before 2 Corinthians. He couldn't name Genesis 1. Uh-huh. He couldn't name John 3:16.
See, and I couldn't, but I've never professed to be a religious person. But if you ask me to name a Bible verse, I can't. Because I'm not a Bible reader. He's putting himself out there pretending to be something he's not, and these people are glomming onto him. When you mentioned that they get breaks that, you know, atheists don't, they get tax breaks. They have a whole... Yeah.
You know, and this is an important thing, Nicole, that I want to make sure that people understand. When it talks about tax breaks, a lot of people come to us and they say, well, American Atheists is a tax-exempt organization. You don't get tax breaks either. Okay? Let me just make sure that a very, very important point is clear, and then I'd like to segue to that into the Johnson Amendment, which is something very important.
Yep.
Okay. So the IRS has essentially, for this discussion, two classifications of nonprofit organizations, religious and non-religious. Neither of them pay taxes. American Atheist does not pay taxes.
Really?
However,
okay,
we are a 501c3 educational organization. We, like the Red Cross and like every other non-religious entity, we file our forms every year. If you want to know how much money American Atheist earns and how much money we spend on programs, you can look it up. It's there. It's public knowledge because nonprofit organizations are de facto extensions of the government. We are here to do what the government isn't doing. We're providing a service to the country. And that's why we're tax deductible. But we have, because we're extensions of the government, it's perfectly reasonable for us to say, well, since we're tax deductible, this is how we're spending our money. This is how much money we have. This is how much money our executives are being paid. Every nonprofit organization in the country has to file these forms. And when I say these forms, I'm talking about one sheet. I'm talking about a postcard form, okay?
Okay.
Churches also don't pay property taxes, also don't pay income taxes, but they don't file those forms. So if you look at the church on the side of the street, or you look at the Mormon church, or the Catholic church, any Catholic diocese, you don't know, nobody gets to know how much money they make, or how much they spend on programs, or how much they spend on salaries. You don't get to know.
Hmm.
It's a very important distinction. It is religious discrimination by the government. If you're religious, you don't have to tell anybody. There's zero oversight. Literally zero oversight. In fact, the laws in the IRS state that you cannot even audit a church unless you're a high enough level person in the company. And one of the very few times when a church was audited, the audit did find impropriety, but it was thrown out of court because the auditor wasn't high enough on the structure to audit a church.
Seriously?
Okay.
Wow.
So it's important for people to understand that, yes, all nonprofits don't pay taxes, but accountability is the key. American Atheists, we not only file our forms, we have our financials audited every year voluntarily, and we publish those audited results on our website because we want everybody to know how we're spending their donation money. Now, having said all that, I'd like to segue to the Johnson Amendment,
okay,
which is a very important issue that I really wanted to come on and talk about because it has to do with this exact issue. The Johnson Amendment stops churches from politicking.
Right.
It stops religious organizations from politicking.
And ostensibly. That's a good thing.
Ostensibly, right? Ostensibly, right. And President, what's his name? President Trump wants to eliminate that, and he is going all out to get that. Now, a lot of religious organizations do not want this. 5,000 nonprofit organizations do not want this, and 4,000 faith leaders have gone on record to oppose this for a very important reason that not too many people get. And this is it. Super PACs exist because Citizens United created the idea that corporations are people and have freedom of speech. If you want to donate $10 million to the Trump administration, you can donate it to a super PAC, and the super PAC will spend that money advertising for the Trump election.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. If the Johnson Amendment is repealed, churches can do that too.
Wow.
They can advertise and do that too. But here's the kicker. If you have $10 million and you want to donate it to the Trump campaign, would you donate it to a super PAC? Or would you donate it to a church where you can get a tax deduction for that same donation?
Yeah, you donate it to the church, of course.
100% of the time, economics works. 100% of the donations that go to, well, I should say, nearly 100% of the donations that go to super PACs would now go to churches. Churches, once again, do not have accountability, do not file their forms. The church that you donate that $10 million to can donate $5 million to the Trump campaign, pocket the rest, and you'll never know because you don't have the right to know.
Wow.
But also, but even more importantly than that, think about this, and I really want everybody to understand this. The amount of money that's going into politics right now through super PACs is immense. If most of that shifts toward religions, if most of the money coming into politics is going through churches, where is the incentive to defend the separation of church and state? It goes away.
Right. And it's not necessarily there now anyway, because this administration is fighting against that separation. It's as if it were not, you know, enshrined in the First Amendment.
Right. But even on the Democratic side. Think about the Democrats. If you're a Democrat and most of your money, which used to come in as super PACs, is now coming in from churches, and churches want privilege, where is your incentive to support the separation of church and state? It evaporates. So the Johnson Amendment and the you know, one of the messages that I want to get through to your listeners is that what's happening right now in Congress, what's happening right now, an American Atheist is fighting this tooth and nail, has a potential to have more of an impact on our political system than Citizens United.
Mm-hmm. I see that.
It's going to change everything, and it's going to corrupt religion. And, you know, I want religion to die, but I don't want religion to die this way. I don't want religion to die because it becomes absorbed into the political process, and now preachers become pundits just by default. I want religion to go away because people read their Bibles and realize that it's crap. And by the way, if you're a religious person, please read your Bible and you will stop being a religious person. Please. This is the president of American Atheists. I have a book. My book is called Fighting God. Before you read Fighting God, if you're a religious person, read the Bible. And I mean, really sit down.
Now, are you saying people should read the Bible as if it's nonfiction or a work of fiction?
No, I think they should read the Bible and decide for themselves.
Right.
Yeah. I think they should read the Bible. Every believer out there who thinks that book is divinely inspired, every believer out there who thinks that book is perfect, put your money where your mouth is, or put your time where your mouth is, and sit down and open the thing. Look at that page. Read the whole Bible.
That's a like big a book.
Yeah. If it was written by the perfect ruler of the universe, you'll know it.
Right.
And if it's written by a bunch of nomads who were barely literate, who didn't know anything thousands of years ago, you'll know that too.
Now,
maybe.
Was there ever a time in history, David Silverman is with us, president of American Atheists, that atheism was the, you know, the guiding thought process in a civilization?
Well, it still is a guiding thought process in many civilizations. If you go to Scandinavia, if you go to Iceland, if you go to a lot of other countries, atheism is the norm, and it's beautiful and it's wonderful, and everybody's free and everybody can live their lives, and nobody is there's much less sexual repression, and by the way, there's much less government corruption. There's a higher HDI happiness index. Hmm. Even babies live longer, but. If in this country, it wasn't as bad as it is now, really, until the Cold War. Robert Greene Ingersoll used to give lectures to presidents. He used to be one of the most sought after speakers in the country. And he would talk about the evils of religion and the evils of Christianity in particular. It wasn't really until the 1950s when we had the Cold War, where communism became godless. And that's when In God We Trust was added to the money and One Nation Under God was added to the pledge.
Right.
And that's when atheism became the big bad thing. And that's what we're still coming out of right now. We are still suffering from the McCarthy era.
Is there anybody in Congress who is an avowed atheist, who is an admitted atheist, I should say?
None.
Not one.
None. You said the word admitted and avowed. None. Are there atheists in Congress? Yes.
Sure.
Are there atheists in Congress who will say it? None. None.
Why?
Now we're 27% of the population, but we're 0% of the people in Congress. That's the bigotry that we fight against. That's the McCarthy era hatred that we're talking about. Communism is godless. Godless is bad. Godless is communistic. Atheism is communism. I was called a Marxist on Facebook today. People don't even understand the words. They just see communism and they see atheism and they see communism.
Right.
And yeah, some atheists are communists, and I'm not. But you know, it's a matter of zeitgeist. It's a matter of reputation, and it's of course a matter of character assassination when it comes to religion. I mean, religion can unite. All religions fight each other, but I mean, they can unite over how bad the atheists are.
Yeah, there was a poll I read, it must have been a year or so ago already, where, you know, who would you welcome into your family? And at the bottom of the list was like either somebody of the opposite political party or an atheist. And the atheist yeah. was the bottom.
Yeah, the bottom.
Why?
Because religion says that religion is the source of morality. Therefore, if you don't have religion, you don't have morality. Which, of course, is a lie, because there are 27% of this country is non-religious, is atheistic, and we're 0.02% of the federal prison population.
Wow.
It's ridiculous. Yeah, it's ridiculous. The statistics prove over and over again that religion lies through its teeth. And unfortunately, the statistics also prove time and time again that religious people don't care that religion lies through its teeth, or at least they don't notice it, or at least they don't pay attention to it. This is why there are so many Catholics in the face of all of the Catholic scandals. This is why so many people hate us, even though they don't know us. It's character assassination, and it's basically lies told by religion to make themselves bigger and us look oppressed and us be oppressed.
Now,
it's awful.
You know,
it's
I think back to Charlottesville, and they had another march there this weekend, a more quiet one, but still with their tiki torches and their racist and bigoted sayings. Now, these are people who your name is David Silverman. So obviously you started out life Jewish, right?
Yeah.
As a member of the tribe. And to those people who are marching with the tiki torches, and I'm Jewish too by family, by bloodlines. We're not people either, but to them they have a correct religion, right? I guess as long as you're Christian, you're okay in their book. But other religions are not okay. I would guess atheists are not okay as well.
Oh no, they hate everybody. They hate everybody, and unfortunately. A few of them are atheists, and a few of them are really
bad
disgusting,
atheists.
Horrible people. And I actually had to give a speech at the national convention. We have a national convention every year, and we just had one in Charleston. Our next one is Easter weekend in Oklahoma City. And I had to give a speech saying that I believe in a big tent atheism. I believe that that atheists should be as tolerant of each other as possible, but we don't like Nazis and we're not bringing Nazis in. And if you're a Nazi, you're a piece of crap and get out. We don't want your money and we don't want your stuff. And I had to say that, and it was 2017, and I never thought I'd have to say such a stupid, repugnant thing. But yes, these folks, you know, all religions think every other religion is bad and all religions think every other religion is wrong. And these people with the tiki torches who are empowered by President Trump are using their religion to justify their hate. And yes, they're Christians for the most part. Some of them are atheists, and we must admit that. We atheists must admit that there are bad atheists. One of them is in the White House, and some of those assholes are carrying tiki torches, and none of those people are good people, and none of those people are welcome at an American Atheist National Convention where we're talking about like I said, back to the original topic, everything I do, I yell, I scream, my veins pop out of my forehead. But it's all coming from a basis of doing good. Mm-hmm. I'm here to do good. I'm here to make the world a better place. I'm here to make the world a better place for my fellow human, not just for atheists, but for Christians, Jews, Muslims, and Hindus as well. We're trying to do good. They're not trying to do good.
Right. You have somebody like Mike Pence who won't go to an event where there are other women if his wife is not with him.
Yeah.
All in the name of religion. That's perverted stuff.
That's really religious oppression, and that's the stuff that he wants taught to our children.
Yes.
That's what he wants us to be like.
And they criticize Sharia law if it's, you know, Muslim Sharia law. But this is Christian Sharia law, isn't it?
It is exactly Christian Sharia law, and the Jews do it too. Jews have their own version of Sharia law, and that's why American Atheist is a strong proponent of one law for all, which means everybody has exactly the same rights, even if your parents believe in a God that thinks you should have fewer rights. We should all have the same rights. We should all have the same dignity, and we should have a government that respects everybody equally. We should have a government that doesn't take sides in religion. We should have a government that stays secular and doesn't funnel money to religion. And we should have a political process that doesn't use religion as a filter to get money, hide money, and then engage in partisan politics to make our politicians eschew the separation of church and state. It's a very dangerous place that we'll be in, and we have to fix it. The good news is we're not dead yet. The good news is 2018 is a year away, and we're going to be able to do something then, and then in 2020, we're going to be able to do something really, really great. American Atheist is running the Atheist Voter Program. We're very proud of the Atheist Voter Program, which gets people in atheist t-shirts out talking to people, out volunteering as atheists so that we can increase our visibility. We're 27% of the population. We have to be seen. We have to be known. And we have to come out as atheists, not as agnostics, not as secular Jews, not as secular rationalistic humanists. We have to come out as atheists so we will be known, so we will be understood, and so we will be respected by the political process.
And how's it going so far? How's the fight going?
Well, the fight is hard. We did not do well in the last election.
No.
Atheists underperformed in the last elections. And we hope that in the next election, we will provide a bigger voting block. Hopefully, and I hate to use this kind of terminology, this kind of Machiavellian terminology, but when 9/11 fell and George W. Bush came out and was draped in a cross and a flag, we got a lot of memberships. That event gave us Sam Harris. That event gave us Christopher Hitchens and the God Delusion from Richard Dawkins. And we're hoping and expecting that Donald Trump will help galvanize the atheist movement so that we can walk into 2020 and shake this stuff up.
Well, people can start helping by reading the book, Fighting God, An Atheist Manifesto for a Religious World. It is now out in paperback. I'll put a link up on the blog where I post the podcast to the book. David Silverman, it is always, always great talking to you. The time just flies.
It does just fly, Nicole. Thank you very much. Oh, by the way, the website is atheists.org, and our national convention is next Easter weekend in Oklahoma City. It's Atheism Plus Heart, and you're going to love it. And so thank you very much, Nicole.
One more quick question. Do you always do it in a place that is sort of, a stomping ground of a religious center? Oklahoma City.
The more oppressed the atheists are, the more likely they are to need our help. That's why we go.
Sounds good. Atheists.org, and people can follow you, David Silverman, on Twitter at Mr. Atheist Pants. Thank you again. Always great to talk to you. Take care. Bye-bye. All right. Tomorrow, Howie Klein is back. We'll talk politics. We'll talk 2018. We're getting close. We're almost a year away. All right. And with that, we're done for today. As always, thank you for listening. If you've got a spare couple of bucks, this show is 100% listener supported. Any contributions help the cause. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com/listen-live. And I'll see you back here again tomorrow. Thanks for listening, everyone.